Testing. There we go. All right. Forgot that's a little important, so I'm not yelling. Oh, yeah. I'll say it again. It's good to see you. It's really good to see you here, OT. And Barry has returned. Yeah. Long time out on a fire, so it's good to have you back. Yeah, eyebrows are singed off. No. Did we miss something? Oh, you're back. I'm happy to see you too. Anybody else who's back after missing a couple weeks? Yeah. Darren and his family have moved here. Gio's back. Giovanni. Thumping the bass this morning. That was awesome. I know. Yeah. All right. I have a video clip to show you first off. You guys ready for this? It's an introduction to my message. Here it comes.
They say, Jay John, you know, what do you do? It's always very difficult to know what to say. Because if I say to you that I'm a reverend, which I am, that conjures up certain images in people's minds as to what I might be. So I like to be a little bit creative in telling people what I do. I sat next to this lady on an aeroplane at Heathrow Airport. And I said, hello. And she said, well, hello. And I said, where are you going? And she says, I'm going to Singapore. Then she said to me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Australia. I said, what do you do? So she told me. Then she said, what do you do? And I said, well, I work for a global enterprise. She said, do you? I said, yes, I do. I said, we've got outlets in nearly every country of the world. She said, have you? I said, yes, we have. I said, we've got hospitals and hospices and homeless shelters. I said, we do marriage work. We've got orphanages. We've got feeding programs, educational programs. I said, we do all sorts of justice and reconciliation things. I said, basically, we look after people from birth to death, and we deal in the area of behavioral alteration. She went, wow! And it was so loud, her wow, loads of people turned around and looked at us. She says, what's it called? I said, it's called the church.
You like that? Has anybody seen that before? No? Okay, a couple. Yeah. I saw that a while back, and as I was preparing this, I'm like, that would be the perfect intro. I need that. Yeah, no, I love it. It's hilarious, but it's so true. The church. So this morning, I'm actually talking about we, the church. To me, it's a subject that I'm really passionate about. Yes, I've dedicated my life to serving the church, but I love the church. You guys love the church? Okay. So I want to break down the church. Now, I said we the church. You guys catch that? We the church. Some of you may know this, some of you may not, but we right now are not in a church. You guys understand that? We are not in a church. This is a church building, but the church is actually us. You're with me on that? Okay. The word in the Bible that we translate as church is, does anybody know? Ecclesia. It's good. Which simply means a meeting or assembly. Ecclesia means meeting or assembly. That's what it looks like in the Greek. And of course, to have a meeting or assembly, you have to have what? People. Very good. So a church is a gathering of people. And so also that should be, make it very clear to people, first off, that you cannot have church with me, myself, and I. You've heard that before. Well, we missed you last Sunday. Where were you? I was having church all on my own. Now, it's okay to stay at home sometimes. I like you here, but it's okay to not be in this church building, in a church gathering every Sunday. And it's especially okay to have time with God, just the two of us. To have personal time with God, because that's really what that is. If you're staying home to have church on your own, you're actually having personal time with God. By definition, you can't have church on your own. You with me? That's actually really, really important. And in fact, you should probably be doing it every single day. But this, as we gather together, is church. Okay? You guys with me on that? There's something that you can get in this building that you can't get on your own at home. That's really important. You weren't supposed to get everything just between you and God. He puts you in community. He loves community so much, he put himself in community. So you need to be in community. Okay? So the church is an assembly of people. But what kind of people? There are regular gatherings of people at concerts. The Church of Taylor Swift? No. At football games. I'm a Colts fan myself, but even at the Diggins. There are regular gatherings of people at the Diggins. But are those churches? Are those gatherings of people, do those qualify as churches? Some people might think it's their church, but what kind of people are in a church? Let you guys just answer. Good people. Worshippers, people who love God. Disciples, good answer. Like and same mind. Ooh, that's good. I like that. Any others? Repenters? Yep. Yeah? There you go. Say that. People in Christ. That's good. Let me share something with you that I discovered as I was studying this word ecclesia. Some of you may have heard it before, but it was totally new to me, and I thought it was really powerful. And it has to do with the origins of this word ecclesia. I should got it up here. The ecclesia seems to have been derived from ekkeleo, to call out. It was a common term for a congregation of the ekletoi, those called out or assembled in the public affairs of a free state, the body of free citizens called together by a herald. I thought that was cool. So by this definition, a church is actually a gathering of people of like status or standing, i.e. free citizens, not slaves, not indentured servants, free citizens who are called out for a like purpose, i.e. the public affairs of a free state. Isn't that cool? So why is this important? Well, before the New Testament, ecclesia was not a word that was associated with a religious gathering. This is a brand new concept to the New Testament. So you have the Jews who attended a synagogue, and Romans, in the Latin, it's a templum, and Greeks, a temenos or hieron. So those were the Greek words that they could have used. A temenos or hieron. It would have made perfect sense for the New Testament writers to incorporate an already understood term and apply it to Christian gatherings. Right? It would make complete sense. Except, and it's a really big except for the Holy Spirit. Jews and Greeks and Romans went to a specific place to worship because it was that specific place that they were able to meet with God. And in fact, a lot of them believe that it was that specific place where God actually dwelt. But Jesus flipped everything on his head, right? Because now no longer do you go to a place to meet God. He meets you. He lives inside of his people. So early believers said, well, what do we call this thing? What do we call it? This new body of believers. And I propose that they were very intentional in choosing this word ekklesia. There are actually other words in the ancient Greek for a gathering. They could have used any number of those words. They could have chosen any number of those words, but they chose ekklesia. And this is why, because it was associated with the ekletoi, those called out or assembled in the public affairs of a free state. So here's what I believe. I believe we, the church, are a body of free citizens called out by God and assembled for the sake of the public affairs of His kingdom on the earth. Thank you. I believe that we, the church, are a body of free citizens called out by God and assembled for the sake of the public affairs of God's kingdom on the earth. This was very deliberate. This wasn't happenstance. This was deliberate because this is who we are. This is the church. I want you to raise your idea of who you are, church. And I'm not just talking about this body. I'm talking about the body of Christ, global, you know? There is this church, there's this assembly, there's also the global assembly of believers. You're with me? We need to raise our idea of who we are. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. That's how much God thinks of us. That He would set us up. He would call us out, assemble us for the sake of the public affairs of His kingdom on the earth. We don't just gather to worship in a church, though we do because He's worthy. We don't just gather for a message to lift us up so that we can face the next week. Though I'm with you that sometimes I need it. Like I just need help. Help. That's an okay prayer. But we gather knowing that each one of us is a free citizen of the kingdom of God. And each one of us is an integral part in doing the king's business. Man, when Daniel got up after worship, I was like, man, he's starting to preach some long message. That was good. It was perfect. Every single one of you are an instrument of change. Every single one of you are an instrument of bringing God's kingdom to the earth. Every member of the church. Everyone is an integral part, not just the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers. Everyone. And this is what I actually really want you guys to get today. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Ephesians. And I'm going to primarily focus on chapter 4, but very quickly, I want to read out of chapter 1, verse 1. And here it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Who is Paul writing this letter to? Say that. The saints. And the saints are? Say what? The people of God. It's not a few select super holy individuals in Ephesus. It is the church. The whole church. You with me? Every single one in here who is in Christ, you are a saint. We are not sinners saved by grace. We were sinners and we are saved by grace. But you no longer have that as your identity. You are actually now a saint. When Jesus looks at you, when the Father looks at you, He does not see a sinner anymore. He sees his son. Are you with me? It's this new identity as saints, because of what Jesus did, that actually qualifies us to do the King's business. So we gotta have that right. We gotta know what our identity is as we come in and see ourselves. We have to see ourselves the right way if we're gonna see that actually I have a part to play in this. So chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father, over all, who is over all and through all and in all." Did you guys get that? One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. "But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift." Now I'm going to skip down to verse 11. It says, "And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness, scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love." Isn't that beautiful? So going back to verse 11, the primary job of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers is to what? Equip the saints, a.k.a. the church, for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. That's the primary job. Not to just do the work of the service, but to equip the body, the church, to do the work of the ministry. I mean, I see it as my job, and it's a great, I love that I'm called to ministry. I believe that I am extremely blessed to be able to serve God in this way. But I see it as my calling not only to serve God and to serve the church, but to equip and to encourage you, the church, to do the work of the ministry. That word actually that says to do the work of service, that word service is the same word for ministry. The work of ministry isn't for the pastors, the preachers, the evangelists, the apostles. It's for the church. For example, it is one of my greatest privileges as a pastor to pray for people. And it's a great honor to be asked by some of you who have done it to pray for a family member, a friend, a loved one. But here's the thing, often when I'm asked this, I like to remind that person that the same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in them. The same Holy Spirit that lives in me lives in you. There is no pastor-sized Holy Spirit. There is no then regular church attendee Holy Spirit. And there's no junior-sized Holy Spirit for the kids. There is one Holy Spirit, that, what did it say up there? One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. The same Holy Spirit lives inside every believer. So back to verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, say whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, say every joint, according to the proper working of each individual part, say each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. This is saying that every member is important. Every member has a part to play. God is not looking for warm bodies to fill the seats of a church building. He's looking for people who will partner with Him in bringing heaven to earth. Let me say that again. He is looking for a people who will partner with Him in bringing heaven to earth. Not just waiting for by and by pie in the sky. That's not what He saved you for. That's a benefit. In Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, he admonished them to earnestly desire, or desire earnestly spiritual gifts. And by spiritual gifts, he means healing, prophecy, miracles, tongues, discernment. There's a whole list of them. The spiritual gifts. Those aren't reserved for a few holy people. He's telling the church, once again, the church, the whole church, not just the leaders, the church, every single one of us, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. If you're saying to yourself, well, I'm disqualified. No, you're not disqualified. Jesus qualifies you. The Holy Spirit living inside of every single believer qualifies you. It is the privilege and even duty of every believer to build up the church and work for the advancement of God's kingdom on the earth. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn to the people on your right and your left. Make sure there's somebody there. If you have to turn around, do that. But I want you to say it to somebody. You are important. Now I want you to say, the church needs you. Now say, the world needs you. We, the church, are God's plan for the world. Let me say that again. We, the church, are God's plan for the world, and there actually is no plan B. There's no plan B. It's us. It's time that we recognize it and rise to the calling. You guys ready? Okay, I want you guys to stand. And I actually want you to close your eyes. And I want you to, maybe if you want me to put your hands out in a receive mode or whatever, but I want you to receive it, these words that I'm going to speak over you today. From Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And I say again, rise and shine, for your light has come. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that you choose us to do your business on the earth. God, I ask that truth would invade every single mind today. The truth of your Spirit would invade every single person here this morning, God. The reality of who they are, who they were created to be, and what you have in store for them. Just as Daniel said, we are the agents of change. Thank you, God, that that is your design. You could have done it on your own, but you choose us. So we collectively say yes this morning. We say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Use us. Thank you, God.